Wisconsin is in Milwaukee at the State Republican Party Convention, visiting with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Thanks for taking time, Robin.
I always enjoy it. Thanks, Steve, for having me.
In your speech to the delegates, you say, no blue wave here. How can you be so sure?
You know, I just talked to our candidates and the members that we have all across the state. They're out knocking on doors, talking to people back in their home communities. And in almost every single part of the state, they tell the same story, that people are frustrated with Washington. They like what's happening in their local community and in the state. So while I think the Democrats have been optimistic almost for a decade that this was going to be finally the time that they could beat us, I just don't feel it. I don't see it. And it's not going to happen.
You're going to lose either they're running for the Senate or they're going to retire. What, 8, 9, or 10 of your members?
Yeah.
So you've been out recruiting candidates. You feel pretty good about those that you've lined up?
I do, and you'll see once they all are filed by June 1st that it's a really good, strong cross-section. You know, it seems like Democrats have a cookie-cutter approach to how they find candidates. We go to the community. We try to find people who've been long involved, not somebody who's just moved to town. We try to find people who have deep roots in the community so that they've been connected. They've been involved in their chamber of commerce. They've been somebody who's had a small business in town. There's somebody who's volunteered for most of their adult life. Many of the Democrats seem to be newcomers to their communities, which that's great, but to say that they somehow understand what their districts are because they went to a Democrat cookie-cutter class to teach them how to be a candidate doesn't seem to me to be the most effective way, but we'll see in November.
In the 42nd district, you've got a couple Republicans, Mr. Schrader Mr. Archer, who were disappointed when you and other leaders said we're backing John Plummer. You didn't have an obligation to stay neutral in that?
No, I mean, the whole point is everybody has a right to run, so of course they could circulate nomination papers and get on the ballot, but there's no requirement that RAC stays neutral because our goal is to make sure that we beat the Democrat. Democrats were united in liberal Lodi, Ann Groves Lloyd. If you look at her email, that's actually her email address is liberal Lodi, or Lodi liberal. So we certainly know that they had their plan set. I'm sure the union bosses told them who they could run. So we wanted to try to narrow it so we didn't have a bunch of money wasted on the primary to make sure we can focus on winning in the general in June. That's what we're working on. I have no doubt that John Plummer is the best candidate of the bunch. He is going to win in June and then ultimately in November. He's going to be a great legislator.
Well, are you really sure about the 42nd? Although when I go back to the 1960s, it's been represented by Tommy Thompson, Robert Thompson, Doc Hines. You feel pretty good about the 42nd?
I do. I mean, I'm never overconfident, but we have a great candidate. We are running a really good race. Look, it's a tough competitive election cycle. So if we lose it, it doesn't mean we're going to lose the assembly. It certainly means that we are in headwinds, which we already knew. But I am very confident that we have got the best possible candidate we could find. We have a fantastic message because, look, if we can't get reelected as incumbents, first of all, with record low unemployment, more jobs than we can fill, record amount of money for schools, all while cutting taxes. Frankly, I think the people of Wisconsin are focusing on the wrong priorities, and that would be putting liberals in charge to turn us backwards.
President Trump's favorability varies 37% to 42%. You're worried about that on November 6th?
No, I mean, I'm not, only from the standpoint that this is about state elections. Legislators, especially in the assembly, usually have been immune from any kind of a wave because we connect at home. I have spent, you know, literally dozens of hours in the last 2 weeks going door to door in my own district in addition to helping others. So I feel like we are more in touch than the average Washington politician is, even though we have some really good ones in Wisconsin. So I have no doubt that we're going to be strong in November because of the record that we have and the work ethic we've always shown.
What about that March Charles Franklin poll? Democrats were 64% enthused, Republicans 52%, 12 percentage point difference.
Doesn't surprise me because, look, anger always motivates a lot more effectively than happiness. So we see, as Governor Walker just mentioned in his speech, Democrats are super angry. They are frustrated because we are winning. And I think that's what we have to remind people, that winning doesn't just happen by happenstance. It actually requires hard work to making sure you have a good, positive, productive agenda. Democrats, the only thing they are running on is turning us backwards. I don't think anybody wants that, even if you're somebody that might not love Governor Walker or what we're doing. You don't want to rehash everything that we've talked about over the course of the past 8 years going forward. We want to focus on the issues that we need to solve, not on the ones that are behind us.
The same March poll, Governor's favorability 47-47. 12, 14 Democrats running against him. Do you feel good about his chances of a third term?
Look, I mean, not only is it kind of the island of misfit toys on their side of the aisle, where they've got a whole bunch of people who are running for office, no one's a clear front runner. There is almost no enthusiasm beyond the very hardcore Democrat base. So I think they're going to have a really tough time in November, partly because of the great record that we have. There's nobody who's a better campaigner than Scott Walker. And I just think that their decision to have kind of these 20-plus people either decide to run or talk about running really whittles down the field of qualified candidates to somebody that nobody ever gets to hear from.
The impasse over highway funding. You probably learned some lessons from the last session that delayed the budget until September. How are you going to approach that issue differently going into the next session, assuming you're Speaker?
Well, I want to have a long-term solution. That is what we've been focusing on. I think Governor Walker, to his credit, has been open-minded to say, look, we realize that we need to fix the transportation fund. We have been doing really good things, making sure that we have every possible opportunity to save resources for the state. But at some point, with basically flat gas tax revenue and the ability to say most people probably over the next 20 years are not going to be driving a gas guzzler, they're going to either have an electric car or one that's very efficient, we have got to find a new way to fund transportation sooner rather than later.
Well, when I interviewed Speaker Fitzgerald about an hour ago, he said he's hearing rumblings from the Trump administration that they're going to loose some of the strictures and the thou shalt on tolling. Have you heard the same thing? That there'll be new opportunities for Wisconsin?
You know, obviously I've been a supporter of tolling for a long time.
Right.
I believe that we need to have people who pay for the roads actually, or I'm sorry, people who use the roads actually pay for the roads. I don't want to take it from income or sales tax dollars. I would rather say if you're a driver, I probably drive way more than most people who are watching. I should pay a higher share than somebody who drives just on Sundays. So tolling is that idea. If you don't want to drive on the tollways, you wouldn't pay for it. I think that that's something that the federal government is also looking at because they also don't have unlimited resources with lots of priorities. Let us have the opportunity to innovate. We will find a way to solve our problems. That's what the Republican Party is all about, the 10th Amendment and allowing states to be the innovators to show Washington how it works. I think we could be a leader here in Wisconsin.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the DOT study say it would cost hundreds of millions of dollars for Wisconsin to make its highways ready for tolling? Even though the eventual payout could be billions? So wouldn't we have some expensive upfront costs?
There'd be some expenses, but we have to also remember it depends on how we do it. If we do a system where we, of course, have something similar to Illinois, that is cheaper than having toll booths. Some people have toll booths and a transponder. Well, what if we just went with a transponder system? We could do an automatic license plate reader where you don't even need a transponder, and it automatically applies to your driver's license plate when it gets renewed. So there's a lot of creative innovations that we could look at that would help reduce that cost, but it's not free. I accept that. It would be easier to go with the current system, but even if we did increase revenues from existing sources, we've still got to find a long-term better answer than we have right now because gasoline is not going to be the predominant way we fuel our vehicles in the next 20 to 40 years.
You live in the First District. What does Wisconsin lose in terms of Washington clout when Speaker Ryan retires?
That's a hard question because it's a lot. Look, there is nobody who I have enjoyed serving with more than Speaker Ryan. He's smart and funny and personable and passionate and policy-oriented. He is the same person that I met before he ran that he is today, just a heck of a lot busier. So his ability to help make sure that we have a positive, optimistic vision for Wisconsin and for the Republican Party is what I'm going to miss the most. He's a happy warrior, right? He's not somebody who's angry. I think that's what we need to make sure we continue to showcase to our state and to the country. He also helped to bring good things back to Wisconsin, but he was never somebody who put in special amendments to direct money to Wisconsin.
Earmarks.
But we got a favorable ear when we needed to have a problem with help from our partners in Washington. So whoever wins that primary, whoever serves on the Republican side, I am positive is going to have the same kind of relationship with us. Just takes a while to rebuild the club.
Open seats in the U.S. House from Wisconsin are pretty rare.
Yeah.
How hard did you look at running, Mr. Speaker?
You know, I did look at it. I mean, I'll be honest and say I never imagined that Paul Ryan would not run for re-election. That, you know, that late in the cycle, you know, he had been helping folks all across the country, which didn't surprise me. Now, is it a difficult life to lead with a family? I totally understand his reasons for doing it. So, frankly, I felt like I would have been leaving my own team in the lurch in the middle of our own election cycle without the proper preparation if I had decided to run. My business is growing and expanding. You know, I just got married. So for me, it wasn't the right time. I love what I do in Wisconsin, and it probably means I never get a chance, but I'm at peace with that.
The U.S. Senate primary, Senator Vukmir and Kevin Nicholson, good for the party?
Yeah, I mean, competitive primaries are good depending on how it works. I think that they are good over a long term. They are good sometimes when you're running against an incumbent to have more people explaining why she shouldn't be reelected than one. This is a circumstance, though, at some point, we have to always remember that our adversary is Tammy Baldwin, not each other. So if the primary focuses on why Tammy Baldwin being a hyper-liberal partisan is wrong for Wisconsin, I think that's good for our chances in November. If it focuses on who can out-conservative or who can say they are more or less part of one group or the rest, I think that's bad for us. So hopefully we focus on why we should win.
If Senator Vukmir gets the endorsement of this convention, should Mr. Nicholson consider withdrawing?
That's something he has to decide. You know, I mean, when you've run for this long, sometimes it's hard to bow out. You know, as was mentioned today, Governor Walker did a very courageous thing by dropping out in 2006 when he thought like it was time to unite behind one person. I think that's admirable, but it certainly isn't required. So I think he should look in the mirror, talk to his friends and supporters if he doesn't win, and say, how do I get through to winning in November? Because it's not about just getting the nomination, it's about beating Tammy Baldwin.
Two issues that are pending in this interim session. Number one, how close did both houses come to a resolution on the dark store controversy? Number one, do you have high hopes for the Blue Ribbon Commission studying school financing?
I do. So number one, of course, with the dark stores, we had a proposal that we intended to pass through the assembly. I thought it would have gotten the votes. It would have made progress without a total solution. I think that's the way you do big, bold things, is sometimes you take one bite at the apple and come back and keep going after it. The League of Municipalities vetoed that idea, so it died. Rob Brooks and others, you know, Senator Roth, have wanted to have a study committee. We're going to do that this summer. As long as people of goodwill from both sides sit down and find a compromise, I think it could advance. But if it's stacked with one side or the other, we're going to end up back at the beginning of session with no solution and probably never finding an answer for the problem.
Okay, and the Blue Ribbon Commission on school financing, are you... You know, as a former chairman, co-chairman of Joint Finance, you know how it works. You have to have some new money for a new school aid formula. Do you see that money there?
I think if you look at how well our economy is doing, we have had record surpluses over the course of the past 6 to 8 years continuing to build. That's how we were able to do the child tax credit. We were able to, you know, hold the line on property taxes, freeze tuition, put more money in school. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. But when I sat down with Senator Olson and Representative Kitchens, I want them to be big and bold in their ideas. And it's not always just about money. We need to look at how schools do the job that they do, what regulations are burdensome and don't actually enhance the value of a child's education. How do we look for the next 20 to 40 years, not just how do we finance it over the next two or three?
You've been in the news and criticized for that trip to London. Did you get Ethics Commission advice that was fine to go on?
100% of what I do follows ethics directions and the law of Wisconsin. We have folks from both sides of the aisle who participate in conferences like GOPAC. Democrats go to Sixth, Planned Parenthood, all these different conferences they have. We have GOPAC, ALEC, and then, of course, the ones I'm most involved in, the State Legislative Leaders Foundation and NCSL, are bipartisan, where people from both parties get together to talk about how do we solve our nation's problems. So those are always permissible. I think it's a big hullabaloo about nothing, mostly focused on what happened to my friend in Ohio. But I think you'll see really nothing comes out of that, because nothing was that wrong.
Then final question, in your speech to the delegates, you laid out a whole bunch of goals. Top priority in the next session, assuming you're speaker.
Finding a way to rewrite our state's tax code to make it ready for the next 20 years. You know, when I think about stuff, I'm not going to be around forever. You know, I hope to serve a couple more terms. I'd like to fix transportation long term. I'd like to fix our school funding formula long term. I'd like to rewrite our tax code. All big and bold ideas that people have tackled unsuccessfully or kind of nibbled on the margins. My goal would be to do something bigger and bolder in all those areas, but it depends on the elections, which is why I hope I have a willing partner with Governor Walker and, of course, a Republican Senate, and then we'll get to business.
You also mentioned that the aging demographics of Wisconsin, pretty startling. The number of retirees is going to double within 20 years?
Correct.
Do I have that right?
Correct.
And the issues that presents for lawmakers like yourself?
Well, and just for the ability of, you know, millennials and people of my generation to be able to make sure their parents are able to be in a good place, have the care that they need, and have us lead productive lives at the same time. You know, of course, we were first in the country with ideas like family care. We have done a lot of things. Senior care is still on the books. So certainly we want to encourage everybody to stay in Wisconsin, but that is a bigger reason we need to have more young people either move here, emigrate here or stay here to keep our economy humming at the pace that it is. So that's why Governor Walker's efforts to attract millennials, I thought, were so important. It's why having the tuition freeze is really important going forward. I think it's all the positive things that we know we need to keep young people here, and we've got a great record to draw from.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, thank you for talking to Wisconsin tonight. Thank you.